Well, like most of us who have financial resources, we struggle with where we're going to put our ultimate trust. We look at what money can build and buy, and it's impressive. And without some money, we know that life would not be good. So there is a point at which we know we have to have that to get by. If you were to look, though, at the skyline across the river, the Hudson, and at New York, you would see that it testifies to its great and influential economic prosperity that influences not only our region, but the entire world. It's a world city in that sense. It's impressive. It's huge. It goes on forever. But in the eyes of God, those buildings are nothing more than sticks and stones that will not last the test of time. They are fragile monuments built by the rich to impress and to suppress. They will not last. In our video today, we hear Ray talking with Frank about God as that place to put one's strength in, as a tower. And what he's doing, he's quoting from Proverbs, which describes God as a strong tower, a place in which we can go to find refuge. And in the midst of a crisis, we see that, and in the midst of this crisis, we see which tower we tend to run to when something happens. From the gleaming towers built by human hands, we see that these towers are defenseless against what happened to Cassie. They can't prevent muggings, they can't prevent disease, they can't prevent loss, they can't prevent death. So they do not deliver for us what we ultimately need. But from God's tower, we see as God begins to see. We see the needs of others, and we see the needs of ourselves much more clearly. We see what's important to us in life. And finally, we can see the horizon line and the hope that that brings, that whatever we're going through will not last forever. We can see that something is changing in the distance. There are times in life that will test our faith, folks. If you haven't had your faith tested yet, you will. And when you have it tested, you're going to find out what you truly believe in, who you put first in your lives. In this week's film, we see that Frank has built an impressive tower. He's built an economic portfolio that is going to take him and his family into retirement and beyond. He has built an impressive tower with impressive walls around he and his family. He has a nice house. He has a yard with a pool. He has a portfolio full of investments, everything but Frank's investments cannot save his wife. They can't prevent what happens to Cassie from happening. And his retirement plan won't steady the hand of the doctors who are now caring for her. Paying them more money won't make it any better. So here's a question for us to think on. What was the biggest crisis that you have faced in your life to this date? What was the biggest crisis that you've had to face? And how did that crisis affect your faith? Did it diminish it? Did it strengthen it? Did it cause you to be ambivalent? But what did it do? Was money a factor in that situation? Or was it a question of your mortality or the mortality of somebody that you loved that was the issue? You know, pain and loss and death, it's going to come to every single living being. And the question is, can we trust God? Can we trust a God who allows pain to enter into our lives? And the question even, why? It's a tough thing. Job trusted God no matter what happened in his life. The book of Job is one of the most fascinating books, I think, in the Bible. Because it's a bet between God and the devil, and God is betting on his servant Job to be faithful. So it's a story about Job. His wife, on the other hand, didn't believe and wants Job to get this suffering over with and curse God and simply die. And the pain in his life then will be over. And the central question of the story of Job asks, is God to be trusted when the bottom of our lives falls out from underneath us through no fault of our own or even through fault of our own? It doesn't matter. When the bottom falls out, can you trust God? It's easy to believe and trust God when life is going your way. It's easy to have faith or to give lip service to it, actually, when life is going well. But you know what? I say it's not easy to have faith, actually, when life is going well for you. It's almost impossible. Because what happens is we instinctively revert back to our natural beings of thinking of ourselves as the center of the universe when things are going well. We think we did this. We're proud of our accomplishments. We're proud of what we achieved until something just shatters that illusion of control and we wake up to the fact that we no longer have it. Right? That's what Job is about. It's about the question of what do you put your faith in when the bottom falls out of your life? You know, his friends try and blame him or his family. You must have done something wrong, Job. Flip through your mind over your memory banks and find out what it was that you did to upset God. And then you'll know why you're being punished. Doesn't have anything to do with why Job's being punished, however. His wife, you know, if you just simply curse God and die, you know, it'll be over. Where's the hope in that? Right? Can we trust God who allows pain to invade our lives? Can we trust God who does this? Can God be using that pain for something greater in our life, a greater lesson that we need to learn, as was in the case with Job? When Job speaks, he shows that he understands who's number one. He has no choice to. It's almost impossible for him to deal with anything other than God, because only God could have been involved in this calamity, so to speak, and only God could have gotten him out of this calamity. If I have made gold my hope, Job says, if I had made gold my hope and have said to it, this is fine gold, you, my gold, are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gotten much, this also would have been an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For I should have denied God who is above all else. In other words, he knows who he's dealing business with every single day. Job is dealing with God. He rails against God, not against some unknown entity. That's faith. He's in conversation every single day with God, demanding that God prove to him that this is a just thing to do, and God doesn't. God doesn't prove anything. God simply comes to him in the 44th chapter out of the whirlwind and says, "Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the creation? Surely you know who has set the giant Leviathan in the deep. Surely you know who has created the mountains and the waters and the firmaments above. Surely you know." He dresses Job down. Job is silenced by this. But in the end, Job comes to have what all of us really want to have, which is a personal relationship with God. Nothing can get in between that now. No money, no doubt, no fear. Nothing can wedge between God and Job. They're like this. And when Job's book finishes, Job says, "I spoke without knowledge. I didn't know what you know. I didn't see what you saw." And God's cool with that. And God restores everything, it says, double fold to Job. Has he gone through a crisis? Absolutely. Has he come out of it? Absolutely. Has life continued? Yes. Is he different? Absolutely. Our money says, "In God we trust." But what we really should say is, "In God we trust, the rest pay cash." Cash, not God, is what we trust. But when we put our trust in God, we see that God is like that strong tower mentioned in Proverbs. We get a different perspective on life. From God's perspective, we can look out far and wide over our world. And instead of seeing everything from the crowded, anxious chaos of a street corner, we get a wider view of the world and of our lives. From God's tower, we can see that a new day is going to be dawning. We can see that the weather is changing, and therefore what we're experiencing will change too. And we can do that quicker than on the street level. You can see the light coming across the horizon much faster when you're up high. If we can see our life from God's perspective, we have hope. If we see it only from a human perspective, we may never see hope and never truly feel safe. And so it's like the rich man who has to keep building bigger and bigger walls. It's never enough. It's never enough. Because what about this eventuality? What about that eventuality? I need to save some more. It's endless. In this week's film, Ray tells Frank that he knows that he's building a tower of imaginary walls with his finances. And he says it like this: when you stop thinking about it as your money, Frank, when you stop thinking about it as your money, you will understand what this is about. If you see the money that you have as God's money and not yours, if you see that it's part of a blessing that has been given unto you because of your talent, your education, all of the things that made you who you are, if you see it as a gift from God for all of the hard work you've put in, if you see it that way, then you see it not as yours, but as a steward would see it. This is not my money, this is God's money. I mean, it can disappear from me any moment, right? I can die. I'm not taking it with me. So when I see it that way, when I come to that realization that this isn't my money, but it's to be congealed energy used to the betterment of what God would have us do, then it becomes a freeing thing. Becomes something that I can share because I know more will come. Because why? Because God has promised that there would be an abundance of life. When this happens, we begin to experience that peace that passes all understanding, because our money is only as an illusion. It's a security, illusion of security against the ultimate enemy of death. You know? When what we value most, the people that we love, our own lives, when we see that money doesn't protect us from the hand of time, then we have a chance. Then we have a chance to let the creator of the universe come in and take control of our lives. And when that happens, and you know God, nothing can separate you from the love of God, as Paul says. Nothing can separate you. That's an existential reality, but it's only found sometimes through suffering. Because left to our own devices, you don't naturally go that direction. We don't naturally go that way, right? This week, I want you to think on this question. Where have you turned for help in the past, and did it help? Where do you turn for help with your life decisions, those big decisions in life? How do you decide who to marry? How do you decide which house to buy? How do you decide when to have family and all of that? Those are decisions that nobody else can really give you an answer to. Right? And yet they're the essence of our life. Having too much and having too little are both problems. Too much is a problem, but too little is a problem. When Ray lost his wife, he became homeless, he said, and he hated everybody who wasn't poor. He looked at all of the people around him who had so much more and so much more health, so much more money, and he hated them for it. I understand that. You know, misery loves company. And then he got a job. Something came along. Frank came along. He got a job working for Frank. And his life began to come up out of poverty. Frank has been building his portfolio all along, thinking that this would protect him and his family, only find that the muggings and the illnesses come to those who have and those who don't have. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust alike, Jesus said. I close with this statement for you by the writer of Proverbs. I think this is a profound statement. And it's not something we can do for ourselves, but it is the balance that we want to have. Okay? It is the balance that we want to have. And this is what it says in Proverbs. Two things I have asked of God. Don't deny me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full, deny you, and say, who is Yahweh? Or lest I be poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of God. Either one is not a good place to be. But we can't necessarily get ourselves there. That's why we have to surrender. That's why we have to step out and trust God. Because only God can make that balancing act work. Kind of reminds me of what Jesus taught us to pray every week. Give us this day, our daily bread. Amen. Thank you.